In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Well, prior to our gospel lesson, Jesus is in Galilee. He's been teaching, he's been preaching, and he's been healing. Now, the most recent thing he did before they depart from Galilee is he rebuked the Pharisees and the scribes with his teaching of what defiles a man, because they were getting, the Pharisees were getting a little excited because they were coming in, they weren't washing. So Jesus said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Then Jesus went thence and departed in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him. And Mark, rather than saying it was a Canaanite, Mark in this gospel said that she was a Greek Syrophoenician woman. Historically, the whole land, including Tyre and Sidon, those are the cities on the coast, it was occupied by the Canaanites. And so it was called Canaan. And then later it was called Phoenicia. And of course, to get a more modern name and something that they would want everybody to come to, they called it Syrophoenicia, which was the ancient kingdom of the eastern Mediterranean region. Well, this region was acquired by the Greeks under Alexander the Great. Now, the woman, with all of this history going into this, she was classified as a Gentile. And of course she was a Gentile, because she was not an Israelite. She lived under the Greek rule, and more than likely she spoke Greek. She was by birth a Syrophoenician, who were the descendants of the Canaanites. Now, before all this little geography lesson that I've given you, remember to start with, I said Jesus was going to depart from Galilee. Well, his withdrawal from Galilee, it wasn't because he feared the people, but it's the fact that he wanted to go up with his 12 and find a place where they could be quiet and commune with each other, because he desired a time for readying their hearts for their future ministry, and as well for the completion of his earthly ministry through his passion. And we all know these accounts in Scripture where Jesus sits them down and said, okay, here's what's going to happen. And they kind of look at him like, okay. They go on a little bit further. He tells them again. He said, okay, you told us that before, so okay, we've got it. Then he said, okay, I'm going to tell you this one more time, but they still didn't get it. But they, you know, do we really get it all the time? So they didn't really get it until after the resurrection, when he came back to see them, that what he had said was the absolute truth. So Jesus took his 12 and the others that were following along with him, and they traveled north beyond the jurisdiction of the leaders of Israel, those old Pharisees and scribes, and went up and settled in the region of Tyre and Sidon. They were those coastal ports in Syrophoenician on the Mediterranean Sea. And this area, if you looked on a map, this would be the area of the southern mountains of Lebanon. So I promise you, that's it for the geography, because that's why I was a science major, so I didn't have to study all that stuff. But it kind of came back on me. So he said, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Now, we're going to come back to that verse, because there are two very important statements that we have. Have mercy on me, O Lord, and thou son of David. So we're going to come back to that. This is really quite the unique statement from this woman, who is completely outside of God's covenant with his chosen people, the Israelites. But he answered her not a word. That's a little odd that he didn't, but he's got something he's thinking about here. He wants to bring this faith out from this woman, and we're going to see how that faith comes out. Jesus was testing her faith, while at the same time, Jesus is teaching the apostles through the example of this woman that the strength of faith should be fully tried. Our faith should be truly tested. And he does that. Don't we have temptations? I call them little speed bumps. Make you slow down and think about things rather than rattling your teeth. So we think about this. We think about the temptation and what it's going to mean if we succumb to that temptation. So we turn away. That's repentance. We turn away. Jesus tells the woman that he was sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's still testing her. And he said, well, by this statement, let me see if she walks away or if she continues to stand here. She continued to stand in front of him. And not only that, but then the woman bows down in reverence and worships Jesus. She possibly knows a little bit about this man and what he's done and who he just may be. Lord, help me. Jesus replies, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast the dogs. And she's probably thinking, come on, help me out just a little bit. But he was still testing her faith. This was not an insult or a rebuke. He was testing her faith. She states, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall under their master's table. She essentially is saying, I'm a heathen, unworthy of your blessings, yet grant me just a small portion of an exception of your almighty power and heal the despised daughter of a despised heathen mother. The woman's humility and perseverance, and we're going to see that perseverance changing into obedience, it manifests her faith. Jesus sees this. He looks to the heart. We look to the exterior. We look to the person, not to the heart. Jesus looks to the heart. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now again, in the Gospel of Mark, Mark records this as the devil has gone out of their daughter, because remember when she came to Jesus, she said her daughter was terribly vexed with the devil. So Mark, in his own way and wisdom, said that devil's gone. So she was healed from that very self-same hour. Faith is the key. Faith is that key to our healing, both physically and spiritually, because our physical healing and our spiritual healing, they're all entwined. So they're both healed through our faith in Jesus Christ. Now let's look to the woman's faith, because Jesus said, O woman, great is thy faith. There are three parts that we see to this in this gospel lesson. One of those is her repentant faith, the other is her persistent faith, and the other is her humble faith. Jesus saw her repentance, her repentant faith. Repentance is that turning from sin. You turn completely around. You don't go to the side where you can get a little view. Remember Lot's wife. You can still go over and see her as that pillar of salt. She said, well, you know what? I got to take a look at this. And she was told, don't look back. Don't look back. That's what Jesus tells us about our sins. Turn in repentance and don't look back. So she came, she said, Lord, help me. The woman turned from her religious heritage of worshiping empty gods and being involved in idolatry, and she approaches Jesus with a sense of being unworthy. That's humility. And we'll talk about her humble faith. But that's where we turn to Christ. We turn to him in all humility. She comes in repentance, turning from her sin, which creates that penitent, contrite heart. Penitent, that's a form of, we're in a penitential season. So we pray for that repentance. We pray to grow closer and closer to that image of Christ, because he is that perfect image of his heavenly Father. And a contrite heart. that we're truly sorry for what we did, and not just sorry that we got caught, but we're truly sorry that we rebelled against God. Jesus saw persistent faith. The woman cries, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David." Now here's that verse again. The woman calls Jesus Lord. She's acknowledging his sovereign deity. He has put something on her heart. And she responds as calling him Lord. The woman also calls Jesus the Son of David. Now this is the royal Davidic line that she's referring to here. The people wanted an earthly king. He said, please do something about these Romans. They're just really getting on our nerves. But he was a heavenly king. He's our heavenly king. And by acknowledging him as the Son of David, she is as well acknowledging him as being the Messiah. She states, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You know, Jesus will reject a shallow, insincere faith. However, the disciples are witnessing great faith from this Canaanite woman. Jesus saw humble faith. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. True worship is always accepted by God. Humility is the character of a meek heart that hungers and thirsts for the truth of God. She is saying to Jesus, I am here before you because you are the one. So how do we approach Jesus? We approach Jesus in great faith. You know, that's why we have this gospel lesson right now at this particular time in our liturgical calendar. Jesus is teaching us about faith because through our penitential nature, through our praying and our meditating and our studying the scripture, we are growing our faith. That's what he wants us to understand is important during this penitential season of Lent as we approach his passion and his resurrection. You know, it's really interesting to note that when the word great is understood from the original Greek, it translates to megas or mega, being unusually large. In other words, unending. That our faith continues to grow and grow and grow so it becomes great. And that's what Jesus recognized in this woman. This is our penitential practice during Lent. We approach Jesus in megas faith. In other words, we are here before you, Lord, because you are the one. You are the way. You are the truth. And you are the life. That through faith and belief, we might have life through your name. Amen. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed all might, majesty, power, and dominion, most justly do this day, both now and forever, world without end. Amen. Amen.